3 seem to be the big struggle for the Penguins. Let's see how this fares as we got Campbell for Central coming up.
Campbell shoots one to center field, but Alyssa Lanza is right there for out number 3. So 3 fly balls and 3 outs for the Wildcats to start the second game out. And we're going to head to the bottom of the first inning in a scoreless game. And the pitch in the story of game 1 for the Wildcats was their exceptional pitching performance. But the good news is for the Penguins is that Wood, who is awesome, pitched the shutout in game 1, is off the mound, and we're going to see a different pitcher come in for this game. And it's Brielle Capodanno, the 3-1 senior, number 15, a righty, will be facing this Dominican lineup. Torrey Johnson, Reyes, and Harden, the first 3 hitters due up. So, not many changes in the lineup for the Penguins. As the Penguins will look to try to get something going on offense, something that was a little bit of a struggle for them. And some of that obviously can be accredited to Wood, but not entirely, I would say.
Yeah, Wood definitely pitched a great game. She had over 100 pitches thrown in that first game, and now I can see why Central's sitting her down to take a nice break. She did phenomenal and completely shut out the Penguins.
Yeah, I think her final pitch count was 106, if I remember right. She had 6 strikeouts as well to go along with that shutout. Already seeing a little bit of action in the bullpen. And we haven't even seen a pitch thrown by Cordano yet. As here's Torrey Johnson. Johnson takes a strike on the inside corner, and it's 0-1.
Looks a little different from last game. I mean, towards the end, the Penguins were being really hungry and hitting that first pitch, and I think that should be the same. Central's not afraid to throw that first pitch as a strike, and I think the Penguins need to capitalize on that.
Last pitch was a ball. It's now 1-1 strike. Fastball right there, strike 2. 1-2 now, the count on Torrey Johnson. Reyes is on deck. 2-1 pitch is swung on and fouled down the left field line. Still 1-2. Actually 2-2, check that. Nobody out. Here's the pitch. Swing and a chopper foul back to the screen.
Getting a little deja vu here from first game. Looks like the Penguins are back at the foul game and battling it out once again to wear down the pitchers at Central. We'll see if this strategy works this time, because the first game, it didn't quite work on Wood.
Swing and a ball hit up the middle. Diving play made it short, and the throw is not in time. So Torrey Johnson will reach with an infield single. And here's Reyes. Haritza Reyes batting for the first time. And after the leadoff single, showing bunt. Bunts it down the first base side. Campbell was messing around with it a little bit in her glove, but is able to come up with it finally and throw out Reyes at short. But still a good bunt laid down by the freshman shortstop, and Torrey Johnson moves up to second base.
It was a beautiful sacrifice bunt there done by Reyes. It dropped perfectly right down the first baseline, and it looked like a little bit of a fumble there by Campbell.
First pitch was fouled off by Caitlin Harden. Harden hitting in the 3 hole like she did in the last game. with a runner on second base and less than two outs. This is a big at-bat for the Penguins as Harden fouls one over towards the Central Washington dugout. 0-2, and one thing to keep an eye on with the Central Washington team, they are now 7-1 on the season. 0-2 pitch coming is a swing and a ground ball to Campbell at first. She will take it to her bag itself and put it away for the second out. Runner moves up to second base. What I was saying about Central, like I mentioned, had a good start to the season, but this is the second leg of a back-to-back for them. So this is the fourth game that they have played in the last 24 hours. So definitely fitness will be tested here for them. And so here's a chopper to short. Fiedelman is after it, and she throws out Cavender at first base, and the inning is over. So the Penguins strand another runner in scoring position. That's kind of been the story. It's just have not been able to get that big hit to jumpstart the offense, and another zero put up by this Wildcats staff. That's the eighth scoreless inning in a row for this Wildcat team, if you go back to the last game as well. So we're going to head to the second inning, take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to see the heart of the order, the 4-5-6 hitters coming up for Central Washington right after this. Welcome back, everybody, to the broadcast here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Jeff Safford, Lizette Cabrera. As Wilkerson is in the box, she spoils one foul. Like I mentioned, 4-5-6 hitters. So Wilkerson, Capadona, and Hamada, the three hitters due up this inning for Central Washington. Goodner's delivery is up high a little bit. One ball and one strike. Pitch is a little bit high. 2-1 the count. Goodner still on the hill for the Penguins. 0-0 here in the top of the second inning. And here comes. And it is just a shade inside that time. So Goodner falls behind now on the count. 3-1. You've not seen her walk anybody yet. She had a 1-2-3 in the first inning. Three fly balls. 3-1 pitch on its way. It is inside, ball four. So Wilkerson leads off the inning.
It looks like to me that Goodner's hitting those spots. This umpire's a little picky in my eyes, I see. She's hitting the spots. I mean, maybe a couple inches off if that's what he's liking, but to me, she's looking pretty good out there.
And here is Capadona. Capadona takes one inside for a ball, and it's 1-0, excuse me, as Cheek and Munoz will play in at the corners, trying to combat a bunt attempt. 1-0 is on its way, and it's way outside. Throw down to first is not in time. Snap throw by Chinchilla. And wasn't really much of a chance there, I didn't think.
No, Cheek was nowhere near the base, honestly. I think she needed to back up like a step or two in order to get there. She almost had it. I mean, Chinchilla made a great throw, and Cheek probably would have had the throw down if she was at the base covering.
Another high pitch on the last one by Goodner, and it's 3-0, and all of a sudden Goodner now struggling with her command. 3-0 is way inside, easy take, ball four. So two straight walks to start this inning off, and it's two runners on and nobody out, just like that for the Wildcats. And they will look to jump out in front early again against this Penguin team.
Goodner definitely has to control herself a little more. Her arm has a tendency to drift a lot farther out when she's trying to pitch that inside. And she needs to definitely keep more control with her release points and where she's going to do that, execute her windup.
As the first pitch was a strike, it's 0-1. Goodner's 0-1 is inside, missed. Even count now, one ball, one strike. And it seems like Goodner is really trying to get it in there on that inside corner, and she's just missing a little bit.
Unlike Catafias, who did happen to just always on that outside inside corner, Goodner's trying, but it's kind of getting a little harder for her.
There's a bunt. Goodner comes off the mound, throws an accurate throw to Caitlin Cavender, covering the bag for the second out. So if you're scoring at home, it's a 1-4 put out at first. So one out, but the runners do move up to second and third on the play. And here's Alexa Olang. Number 10, the righty, had a big hit in the last game. Had an RBI single. It was one of the big moments in that one, I thought. It was an inning at Catafias, had a lot of momentum going, two quick outs. And she was able to kind of really punch him in the mouth after a stolen base to kind of shock the Penguins a little bit, I thought. As the second pitch was also a little bit outside, 2-0. Now here, Goodner in a 2-0 count doesn't necessarily have to come in. She has that open base at first if she wants to use it. Here's a swing and a pop-up. Left side of the outfield, Tori Johnson makes the catch and makes a throw right to Munoz, the cutoff, and smart play there by Tori Johnson not to go chucking that ball towards home plate, because that would have only ended badly. That was a shallow fly ball, so not really any chance for the runner to tag up. I don't care if it was Usain Bolt running.
The runner looked like she wanted to go, but then she saw Johnson right there and said, oh no, and ran back to the base. It was a smart call on not only Johnson to not make that throw, but also the runner to not go.
And now it'll be up to Hazlitt, who comes in now. First pitch to Hazlitt is a strike. No balls and one strike now. As Goodner will look to continue what Catafias did in the last one, and that's get out of trouble. She did get the loss, but it really could have been a lot worse for her and the Penguins if she didn't get out of some big jams. And Goodner is one pitch away from getting out of jam here. She's got an 0-2 count, two outs. And if you're Goodner in the circle, where do you think you'd be going to attack? Would you go down low? Would you go inside, outside?
It looks like she's been trying to go outside, and I probably would not continue the outside. I'd probably go low. From what it looks like, the central team did not like to hit anything low. They keep their hands up high, so anything up high is pretty much in their hitting territory. But I'd probably try to make them reach a little low. The inside-outside game is continuing to work in a way for the Penguins, but I think that it's time to start bringing in the high-lows and maybe some fast and slow. Throw a changeup in there. That might be a nice change of pace for Goodner to execute.
As we are ready for play again now, Hazlitt is back into the box. It's 0-2. Goodner trying to pitch out of a two runner on with jam, and 0-2 is just missed. They're going to appeal to third, and she's out. I didn't think that there was any chance she was going to get rung up on that one, but she does. Did you think she went on that one?
Yeah. With that one, with the call normally made on that is if the ball, or not the ball, the bat passes over the front end of the plate, it's technically she goes. And the umpire, from his vantage point and mine, I saw the ball, her bat just hit that top corner end, and she like did a nice fast jerk, but that was a great call by the umpire over down by third base.
So Goodner gets out of it in the second inning. Still zeros here on the board. Nothing. Very similar start than what we saw last time. I believe the second inning was the inning Catafias. I was mentioning she got out of some jams. She had the bases loaded with nobody out. And I believe that was the second inning was the inning that she was able to get out of that in unscathed, if I remember right.
Yeah, that's right. She had three runners on base, and as well she got two strikeouts and then happened to have a 4-3 put out right there. It was a great way to get out of the inning and a great save for the Penguins there because Catafias stepped up and got those strikeouts. It's looking pretty similar here in the second game, but it is a whole new game, fresh pitchers, so anything is bound to happen.
So it will be Cheek, Munoz, and Chinchilla coming to the plate here for the Penguins. They 5, 6, and 7 hitters in the lineup. Facing Capadonna. Capadonna will fire, and it is a little bit low in the dirt. Blocked by Wilkerson, who is in the squat for the second game in a row. Chinchilla also getting double duty today. 1-0 pitch on its way. It's outside. Pitch had some downward bite on it. Some sinking movement there.
Yeah, it was definitely a nice drop ball that was pitched by a...
There is a drop ball there by Capadonna. Again, this time, gets the call. 2-1 now, the count on Haley Cheek. Pitch to Cheek is swung on and grounded towards the hole, but diving play by my Oleg. Throws to first. Got him. Great play. Oleg had to go to her knees, but jumped up and fired a cannon over to first base. And that was a D1 quality play right there.
It was a phenomenal job. She definitely had to get down for that one.
Here's Munoz. She hits one right back where it came from, into center field, base hit. First time the ball's left the infield for the Penguins. They had an infield hit in the first inning. Second hit of the afternoon for DU. And here's Alexis Chinchilla. Here's the pitch, and it is a pitch that got the call on the outside corner. Not a bad pitch by any means, but definitely got the call. 0-1 pitch coming, swing and a foul right over the top of us. Thought I had my glove, I might have been able to make a little snow coner on that one. Well, that would be something.
Yeah.
Broadcast team makes a play. They'd have to give us a round of applause for that.
Yeah, hopefully they give us the out.
Yeah. Well, DU is batting right now.
So. Then maybe not the out.
but hey. Hey. I guess that would prove we're not homers then if we were rooting for an out.
There you go.
1-2 the count. One out. Munoz is on first base after that last base knock. Swing and a slow roller to short. Throw to first is in time. They got Chinchilla at first. Farrellman, again, taking advantage of Chinchilla's average speed, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, she's a catcher. Catchers don't really have that much speed. They got more power to their hits and the ball than they got speed.
It is a productive out, however, as Taylor Munoz moves into scoring position. And here's Brown. And this could be a big at-bat here for the Penguins. because we've seen them struggle, obviously. They still looking to get on the board in this doubleheader. 1-0 pitch is up high. But sometimes in diamond sports, if you can get that first hit in scoring position, get that first run on the board, and get that mojo working in the dugout, that can help you out. Bolin looks pretty bad with that one. Pitch, she was way out in front, was definitely not looking for that pitch in a 2-0 count.
Yeah.
And she's going to go over to Coach Byrne and have a word.
Yeah, she definitely took almost like a check swing on that pitch. And I think she just needs to focus a little more, maybe not think a lot about what's going on, just kind of let it come naturally. It's hard for a batter like Bolin to come up and be like, all right, I got two outs on me, I got a girl on second, what can I do now? She's just got to worry about getting on base first.
2-1 on its way. It's a swing and a foul. She was right on that one. Good adjustment there made by Bolin. She was right on that pitch and fouled it straight back to the screen. Even count now, however, 2-2. Two's across the board. Here's the pitch. Strike three called on an off-speed pitch by Compadona. Fabulous pitch there to freeze Bolin, and the inning is over. We will head to the third. Still a scoreless ball game. Going to take a quick break here on Penguin Radio.
She says, I'm not like that. Trying to remind her. When we go back, I'll say the right thing but act the wrong way. I like it right here but I cannot stay. I'll watch the TV, forget what I'm told. Well, I am too young and they are too old. I'll make it juicy, I'm ever so pleased. Pretend to be nice so I can be mean. I missed the last bus, I'll take the next train. I'll try but you see it's hard to explain.
Welcome back. We're back here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Jeff Safford here with Lizette Cabrera for this NCAA Division II broadcast. Central Washington bringing their 9-1-2 hitters to the plate here in the top of the third inning. Kelsey Goodner still on the hill. First pitch was a ball to Sammy Morris. And Morris hits a little Texas leaguer in a center field, and that's going to fall. Base hit. Didn't have all that much on it, but at the end of the day, in the box score, it's going to be a big old base knock.
Yeah, it didn't have a lot to it. It looked kind of like it was going to fly out almost to Alonza, but she's not quite fast enough to catch that, but she got a nice little ground ball catch over there to throw it in.
Now the top of the lineup, and here's Fowler. And there's a pass ball as the ball gets past Chinchilla. Should get my wording right. It's actually a wild pitch by Goodner. Pass ball would mean the catcher made a mistake, and Chinchilla did not make a mistake. Just a bad pitch there by Goodner. 1-0, runner now at second base. And here's the pitch from Goodner, and they're going to bunt. And it's going to roll, and it will end up foul, as Taylor Munoz touches it just as it crosses to the left of the third base line. Good bunt there, though, by Fowler, who is 0-for-1, flew out to Torrey Johnson to start the game off in the first inning. Clarify, Torrey Johnson is the left fielder. 1-1 count. Here it comes. Swing and a chopper foul. back to the backstop. One ball, two strikes now for Goodner. She does have one strikeout. Ended the last inning with a strikeout to get out of the jam. 1-2 pitch coming. Here it is. Swing and a shot into right center field, a base hit. Making the turn and coming for home as the ball ends up skipping away from Lonza, and a run comes in to score. And on the play, Fowler moves to second base. So give Fowler a credit for an RBI single, but also record an error on Lonza to allow the runner to move up to second base.
Yeah, that's a tough play there. I mean, Lonza was there for the ball, but I think that right fielder should have gone and backed her up on that. That's kind of key in outfield. You always need someone to back you up in case that ball goes past you. You got to get it in as soon as possible in order to prevent the runs from scoring.
As Farrellman steps into the box, she also flew out to left field in her first at-bat. 1-0 Wildcats now as she swings and fouls it straight back to the screen. 0-2 now the count. Infield playing in for DU with the runner in scoring position and nobody out. Swing and a ball hits a left field and it's going to fall for a base hit. And the runner moves up to third as Fowler, but that's it. And Farrellman stays put at first. So runners at first and third, nobody out. And the Wildcats with already one run on the board here in the third, looking to break out for a big inning here to get a solid lead in this one. And here's Campbell, the first baseman. She flew out to Lonza in center field her last time. Runner goes at second. It was a strike and steals the bag easily. Cavender saw them try that once earlier where Cavender cut the throw off in front of the bag to try to see if the runner was going to go home or not. She stayed put. But now runners at second and third with nobody out. 0-1 pitch on its way. That one is a called ball on the inside corner. One ball and one strike. Wilkerson is in the on-deck circle for the Wildcats of Central Washington, looking to sweep this doubleheader here this afternoon. 1-1 pitches outside, miss for a ball, 2-1. And the Dominican Penguins looking to avoid a 1-7 start. Two balls and a strike. Here it comes, and it is a swing and a foul down the left field line, out of play, on the ground.
So it looks to me that Campbell needs to hang back a little bit on that ball. She's a little too far ahead right now, and she just got to wait for the good pitch because right now she's getting rid of all the junk, but that's easily stuff she could be walked doing. I think she needs to hang back and wait for that one pitch to come through and throw her hands through the ball.
And here's the pitch, and it's a swing and a foul. And a pitch at about letter high on the outside corner. Still 2-2 the count. And Goodner, again, can play around with some pitches here with that open base. 2-2 on its way. Swing and a pop-up. Behind first base, Haley Cheek is there, and she makes the catch just to the left of the first base bag for the first out of the inning. So one out, runner still at second and third. DU still not out of the woods yet. One run is in for Central Washington to this point. Goodner trying to keep it there. First pitch of the at-bat is a strike to Wilkerson.
One thing I do notice about Wilkerson's stance is she's got a very tight zone because she's bending a little bit more than the other players, making it a lot harder for Goodner to hit that spot because of her tight strike zone.
And to speak to that, Wilkerson did walk in her first at bat in the second inning, and she is ahead here 3-0. So Lizette Cabrera is calling it right now.
And they just changed the count to 2-1 on the scoreboard. So it's pretty rough for Goodner right now. She's got tight zone to get through. She's also got runners against her. She's got to pull through something right now.
And Goodner, that pitch was way inside, and it landed about a couple feet in front of the batter, Wilkerson. Pitch is swung on, and a fly ball, shallow center field. Lanza coming in, and Lanza's going to make the catch. Just in the shallow outfield grass, two outs. And Lanza had to come screaming in there to make that play. I'm sure kind of surprised that Reyes or Cavender didn't call her off.
Lanza had the better vantage point for that play, so it was a really smart decision for her to take that ball. I mean, she was already coming in. She knew it was falling short. And for her to call off Cavender at the very last minute was a very smart decision because she made the cleaner catch. Cavender would have had to go back a little and kind of swing around, and it could have been an iffy situation there. So I think it was a very smart choice for Lanza to call off the infield.
And here's the pitcher, Copadona, trying to help herself out, and she hits one pretty well to left field. Foul, and it will be not playable for either Tori Johnson or Taylor Munoz, and Reyes was also over there. So everybody on the left side of the infield giving chase to that one. But in the end, it's just a strike. Copadona can help herself out here big time with a big hit here. Can put two more runs up on the board. But Goodner ahead here, 0-2. Here's the pitch, and it is way outside. Easy take there for Copadona. And I can understand Goodner wanting to go out of the strike zone, but that was a little bit too far.
Again, Goodner's got to work on her control a little more. That release point is very crucial for a pitcher in order to maintain her hitting her spots and control over where the ball's going to land in the strike zone.
As Goodner went for a rise ball there, missed a little bit high, 2-2. Two outs, Goodner trying to get her team back in the dugout. 2-2 pitches. Ooh, a dirty pitch right on the inside corner. Doesn't get the call, though. Full count. Goodner is really working quick to this at batter, I've noticed. Picking up the pace a little bit.
Yeah, she definitely looks like one of those pitchers that doesn't like to take her time on the mound, just wants to get in, get out, and go.
Pitch is ripped towards third, but foul down the third baseline, out of play. Three balls and two strikes, still the count. Two outs. Hamada in the on-deck circle if Copadona can reach. Goodner's ready. Here it comes. Swinging a chopper towards Reyes at short. She's got it. Throws to Cheek at first, right on the money, and that will end the inning. So the Wildcats put one run on the board in the third inning, but it could have been a lot worse. Goodner was able to stop the bleeding, and it stays a one-run game. We're going to head to the bottom of the third, and we'll see if the Penguins can get on the scoreboard right after this.
Me, darling, what it is you want to do. If you want me, you know I could be with you. We always got tonight. Always got tonight. You say you're happy that you found somebody new. Now you're leaving, gone for a day or two. Think it over, I can make it up to you.
Welcome back, everybody. Is Alyssa Lanza. It's the first player come to the box for the Penguins. And first hit, she swung, and she hits a little ground ball to first, and she beats it out. Excuse me, it was a ground ball to Coppadonna, the pitcher. And she beats it out. So one pitch and a base runner for the Penguins. Good start as they're trailing now 1-0 in this ball game. And here's Tori Johnson. Johnson fouls it back to the screen. Looked like she was going to show bunt.
So what was happening there, she looked like she was going to show bunt, and then she decided to slap. And I think Tori should have probably just laid down the bunt. The pitch was there. She just needed to commit to his decision.
This time she does get the bunt down. Coppadonna gets off the mound and fires to first. Great bunt there by Tori Johnson. Gets the job done as she is retired. But a sack bunt for Johnson moves the runner up. And you talked a little bit about the last game, about some small ball for the Penguins maybe being the answer offensively. And we've seen an example of that right there.
Yeah. Small ball is definitely going to be the great start to a game. It's going to help move players around.
And swing, and she hits one the other way. Reyes is aboard, and they're going to bring her home. And coming in to score is Lanza, and now Reyes is in a rundown, going to second, and she is going to be out at second base. So Reyes is able to get the base hit and an RBI for the Penguins. And for the first time in either game, the Penguins are on the board. That ends a 9-inning streak of scoreless ball.
That was
so we got a tie game. And Harden comes up and she fouls one off. So now nobody aboard as Reyes got caught between first and second, trying to stretch that play out. She probably just left for second a little bit too late. 0-1 pitch to Harden is a strike.
What looked like happened to me was that I think she was actually playing a little distraction game because she saw Lanza coming down around third to take home. She said, okay, I got to just take it out here. Let's play a little distraction game to get the run in. We got better to score than to leave her out there hanging. So they played a little distraction game, and they got the run either way.
On the 0-2 pitch, Caitlin Harden swings and misses at a pitch way out of the strike zone. So that'll end the inning. So an inning that was really quick, wham-bash, pow. The Penguins do put a run on the board, and that's the important thing for the Penguins. And now they got that monkey off their back, and maybe that will help the offense relax a little bit. And something to keep an eye on. It's not a huge factor at the moment, but sitting 3:30 local time about here in San Rafael. And we saw this last weekend that the later it gets into the afternoon, the lower that sun gets and the more the shadows come into play and that glare of the sun for these hitters. So the later it gets, the harder it's going to be for these players to hit. It's a little bit similar to when you see, like if you're familiar with AT&T Park and when the Giants play in late afternoon or early evening games at AT&T, that can be a problem, how it's an advantage for a pitcher. Same deal here. And we're seeing the shadows a little bit creeping on to the field in right field. So it's going to be difficult for Bolin in right for the Penguins and for Hazlitt as well out there in left field.
Let's see what the Penguins will do with that sun getting into their faces. Hopefully there's some visors coming on. I see a lot of them getting thrown on out there. Unfortunately, the catchers can't really wear a visor, but maybe she'll throw some shades on.
As Goodner's first pitch is a good one, gets Hamada to swing right through it, and it's 0-1. Hamada grounded out to the pitcher her last hit a comebacker, and Cavender covered the bag. 1-4, so she's 0-1. One ball, one strike on Hamada. And she swings and fouls it straight back to the
Yeah, she was right on that
stop.
She was right on that ball. Definitely should not change a thing. Maybe just bring that bat a little quicker through to capitalize on those kinds of pitches.
And Hamada takes a ball down low on that one. Two balls and two strikes, the count on Hamada. Here in the top of the fourth, tie ball game at one apiece. The Penguins were able to manufacture a run in the last inning. Pitch is just a little bit low. Goodner wanted that one, you can kind of tell. She'll take a quick walk around the mound, or the just around the circle. 3-2 is just a little bit inside, and she walked her. So Hamada starts the fourth off with a walk. Here's Alexis Oleg now. Runner on first, nobody out. She hit a pop-up to left field, and this one she rips toward left, and it just sneaks over to the glove of Reyes into left field for a base hit. So two runners on and nobody out here in this inning for the Wildcats as they look to bounce back after giving up the lead in the bottom half of the last inning. And here is Michaela Haslett now. Haslett struck out in her last at-bat in the second inning against Goodner. See what Goodner can do here. As a bunt attempt is bunted, Munoz comes over from third, throws it to first, and throws it away. And here comes the runner in from third base, and she scores. So a throwing error by Munoz allows Hamada to come around and score. And it's 2-1 Wildcats. And again, the Penguins shooting themselves in the foot. We're going to have a conference now at the mound, as now there are two runners on and nobody out. Runners at second and third.
It's a rough spot to be in for the Penguins right now. They just gave up another run, but that's all right because they got still some game to play. Goodner's probably shaken up a little bit about what just happened because, you know, the whole team's kind of iffy, washy-washy with errors today, but it's all right. Chinchilla went over there and probably calmed them all down and said, hey, let's play some ball.
And it is Morris. Morris steps into the box now, Sammy Morris. Pitches up high and inside to Morris. One ball and no strikes. One nothing. And here's the pitches inside. Now 2-0. And Goodner a little bit struggling with her command in this inning.
Yeah, Goodner seems to struggle a lot with the smaller girls with this tighter strike zones.
2-0 pitches inside again. So 3-0 the count. And Goodner in danger of walking the bases loaded here. 3-0 on its way. Outside corner called strike. And that was a borderline pitch by Goodner. Probably wouldn't have gotten an argument either way on that one from anybody if it was called a strike. They say, all right, but a ball on that one is a little bit high from Goodner. So Goodner walks her.
And Coach Burns coming out right now. I'm thinking a pitch and change is going to be happening now.
And it looks like you're right, as Goodner will come out and looks like
Moriarty.
Yep, looks like Moriarty, number 9, the senior, will pitch for the first time this afternoon. As Ashlyn Moriarty is a veteran of this staff, has pitched a lot over the last couple years. Coming back from injury, she had a shortened 2015 campaign because of injuries. And looks like we're going to see a new catcher coming to the game as well. Looks like it's Shannon Rodriguez, number 24, who will do the catching now for DU. We saw her start quite a bit behind the plate last season for the Penguins. going to give Chinchilla a break. As Moriarty, what do you think we can expect of her coming back of injury? And well, do you expect her to be able to refine her groove that she had 2 years ago?
I'm thinking Moriarty's coming back stronger this year. I mean, her senior year, she's coming to finish strong. What it looks like now, she's doing a great job. And her record so far has been preceding her as to greatness. So I think Moriarty's coming back off this injury and just getting ready to play some real ball and get some wins for the Pangs here.
And she comes in a big spot here. Bases juiced. Nobody out. And the top of the lineup now coming up for Central Washington. Fowler, who got the scoring started for the Wildcats in the third inning with an RBI single. She is 1-for-2. As Moriarty is ready now, and here she comes. And it is a strike on the outside corner, 0-1. And obviously with the bases loaded, command will be crucial here for Moriarty early on. 0-1 pitch is off-speed pitch. Was fouled off. That was a funky pitch from Moriarty. That one definitely had me fooled.
Wow.
I would have came out of my pants if I was swinging at that one.
That's the old Moriarty I like to see. From her sophomore year, she was pulling all sorts of crazy tricks like that. Last year, she was struggling a little bit with that injury, but this year, I think she's coming back, and she's coming back full-heartedly and guns a-blazing.
Drop ball that time. Missed outside. For Moriarty, 1-2. 1-2 pitch coming. It is a swing and a miss on another off-speed pitch. Had the hitter way out in front. And she is looking a little bit foolish going back to the dugout. So Moriarty looking impressive so far here in the fourth. Working quickly, a first called strike, and Rodriguez fires down to first. Excuse me, third. Not in time. And probably smart there by Rodriguez just to keep the runners put.
Yeah, she definitely likes to keep them in check. I remember that from Rodriguez from last season. She likes to make sure her runners don't move. They're mighty scared of her arm because she's got one.
Last pitch was a ball, 1-1. Here's the 1-1 pitch, and it is just off the plate. Moriarty got the call on that pitch in the first pitch of the at-bat. This time, the umpire says, uh-uh. Maybe it was just a shade farther out to the lefty. 2-1 pitch is way outside, 3-1.
Well, with the whole umpire picking pitches, it also has to do with the catcher and the way the catcher's setting up the ball. Sometimes the way the catcher's putting it out can throw off the way the umpire makes a call.
3-1 pitch is swung on and hit into the gap. Base hit in a left center field. Run is in. Here comes the second runner around third, diving in safely, and she's in there. Hazlitt scores, and it's a two-run RBI single for the Wildcats, and they lead now 4-1. Huge swing of the bat there by Freelman, a 2 RBI single. That's her second hit of the day. First 2 RBIs as Moriarty throws and pitches low, misses ball one. As both of those runs will be charged to Goodner at the end of the day, because Goodner was responsible for all three runners aboard. Moriarty will have to refocus, though. 1-0 pitch coming, and it's way outside and high. 2-0.
One thing I do notice about Moriarty is she's coming back a lot stronger than last season. She's pitching a lot harder. Her control can have a little bit more work, but so far she's looking great.
Swing and a shot into center field. Base hit by Campbell. They're going to send him around third to throw. Is in time, and they got her. Good throw by Alyssa Lanza to gun down the runner coming home. That was burning down on her. Saves a run, and there's now two outs in the inning. And here's Wilkerson now coming to the plate. Wilkerson 0 for 1, walked and popped out to the center fielder. Moriarty fires, pitch missed inside, throw down to third by Rodriguez, not in time. So 3 runs in here in the fourth for the Wildcats. They lead this one 4-1. 1-0 pitch is a little bit low and inside. 2-0 for Moriarty. And Moriarty is mentioned having a little bit of trouble with their control, not getting ahead of these hitters. 2-0 on its way. Fastball, strike one on the inside corner.
Yeah, sometimes for a pitcher, when they're getting behind right away, they pull something like that where they get really frustrated with themselves and they just want that strike, so then they go get it.
2-1 count. Runners at second and third, 2 outs. Swing and a chopper. Reyes comes in, throws to first, perfect throw. Cheek is there, and that'll do it for the fourth. But the Wildcats rally back here in the fourth inning, put 3 runs on the board, and now lead this one by a tally of 4-1. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll see if the Penguins can rebut. Bottom of the fourth here in Penguin Field. Penguins trailing, however, 4-1. Caitlin Cavender will lead things off here for the Penguins, and she swings and hits one into the other way. Into the gap, and it's going to get by everybody in the left center field. She's on her horse, and she's headed to second base, and she will make it easily with a stand-up double. So a good swing of the bat there by Caitlin Cavender gets things started for the Penguins. And she hit that one the other way. Good approach there by Cavender.
Yeah, it was a perfect shot by Cavender there. She definitely capitalized on that first pitch because Central's not afraid to throw that first pitch as a strike, and Cavender jumped on it right away. Great job, Caitlin.
So for the first extra base hit for the Penguins this afternoon, and I believe the first extra base hit in either game to this point. 0-1 pitches, swung on and fouled straight back. That was something we talked about earlier. It's been a struggle for this team, is with that extra base hit, only gives them 4 on the entire season through 7-plus games.
Yeah, it's a hard time. I mean, if they need to step up on their hitting or start playing some small ball, they got to pull something out to get runners on base, because get runners on base, then you move them around.
Saley Cheek is quickly behind in the count. 0-2. Here's the pitch to her, and it is just off the plate. I think the players in the Central Washington dugout wanted that one. Cheek grounded out to third in her first time up in the second inning. And Cheek hits one right over the bag, second and into center field for a hit. Here comes Cavender, slides in safely at home, and Haley Cheek comes through with an RBI single up the middle, and it's 4-2. So, a big hit there for the Penguins, and they still 2 runs behind, but that was an at-bat that was not happening in the first game.
Yeah, they're definitely bringing those bats alive this game. It's great job by Caitlin Cavender and getting on her horse and running all the way around to get back and score. And another phenomenal job by Cheek getting that base hit.
As Munoz rips one towards third, but a nice play made by Oleg at third on a one-hopper, throws out Munoz for the first out of the inning. Cheek on the play moves over to second base. And for as sharply as that ball was hit, they're probably fortunate that lead runner didn't get thrown out.
Yeah.
So one out, runner at second. Shannon Rodriguez, who came into the game earlier, get her first at bat. Chinchilla only had the one at bat in the game while she was in. 0-1 pitch to Rodriguez is a flare into right field, and this one's going to fall down the right field line. And Sheik will hold up at third base.
There you go. Base hits win ball games, ladies, so that they're bringing them around now. Base hit after base hit. That's all they need. There's some action down in the bullpen over there for Central Washington. So.
So two runners on now for the Penguins, first and third. Tying run at first base, the lead run is in the box with Kaylee Brown. Here's the pitch to her, and it's a swing and a ball hit into center field. Should be playable by the second baseman, and it is, as Hamada made the catch in shallow right center field for the second out of the inning. So, bit of a tough break there for the Penguins, as here's Alyssa Lanza comes in. Lanza reached on an infield single her first time up. Lanza, did she hold up? No, she did not, on a pitch that was way outside, but Lanza was trying to go after that first pitch, and really good job by Coppadonna knowing that and throwing an off-speed pitch out of the zone to start the at-bat off.
Yeah, it's a great idea to start changing it up because Dominican's starting to catch on to that first pitch.
And there's a comebacker to Coppadonna. Lanza tries to beat it out, but she cannot do it, and that will end the inning. So the Penguins do rebut the three runs put up by the Wildcats with one run of their own, and they cut it to a two-run deficit. And although they are trailing by two, I'm sure the Penguins have to feel good that they are at least able to do something in response to the rally done by the Wildcats in the top half of this inning.
Yeah, it's a great job by the Penguins. Hey, little by little, if they score one every inning, they're getting somewhere. So that's a big improvement from the first game.
So we're going to head to the fifth. This game is moving along pretty quick, as I've noticed that they have gone ahead and when the Penguins come up, they have done away with the walk-up music to try to speed up the game a little bit. Just now batting, just have the player walk right into the box. Moriarty is going to stay on the mound for DU. She will be facing Coppadonna to start this inning out. So the 5, 6, and 7 hitters are coming up for Central Washington. No other defensive substitutions for the Penguins. Rodriguez still behind the plate. It's just Moriarty and Rodriguez are the only two defensive subs that have checked in. We'll see if Central Washington decides to clear out the bench again like they did in game one. Kept hard to keep track of it all. My score sheet looked like something I'd make in preschool because all of everything getting scratched out and written in and all this different mumbo jumbo, but hey, that's softball.
Yeah, they can make changes anytime they want as long as they call time. So we'll see what happens here with Moriarty back in the circle.
And here is Brielle Coppadonna. Yeah. the pitcher in this one. And she takes a strike, fastball in the inside corner. So Moriarty says, what's up? to the opposing pitcher. 0-1 pitch, here it comes. Whoa, that was another funky pitch. I'm not sure what to call it. Looks closest thing I could call in baseball. There's a pitch that like that called an Ephus pitch. That's just a really slow, funky pitch. 1-1 pitch. Just missed it with a hard sinking ball that time. 2-1.
It was looking like she was trying to throw an off-speed drop ball. Because any of these pitches that a softball player can pitch can go off speed.
2-1, and this pitch is shot into right center field, but ranging to her right and making a nice play is Alyssa Lanza. And showing off the leather, and she is a good center fielder for this DU team. Has a lot of speed, and for the most part, is a good person to have out there in center field.
Yeah, Alyssa Lanza's great ability to track that ball is what's keeping the Penguins alive out there in that outfield. They've had a lot of fly balls in the left and in center.
And here is Hamada coming into the plate now. Hamada is 0-for-1. She grounded out to the pitcher her first time out and walked in the fourth. 0-1 pitch is a strike on the outside corner. Moriarty definitely looks a little bit more comfortable in this inning ahead 0-2. 0-leg in the on-deck circle. Here is the 0-2. Just missed a little bit high with that pitch. Looks like she tried to get that one to drop in the zone. Couldn't get it to drop as it stayed up above the letters.
As a pitcher, it's all about release points. She released it a little too high up, and that's why it didn't drop quite the way she wanted it to.
2-2, as I was a little bit distracted myself by the chants going on in the Central Washington dugout. Some crazy chatter coming out of that dugout. 2-2. Swing and a ball hit up the middle. Cavender raging to her left, throws to first, not in time. Nice play by Cavender. Had to make a jumping attempt to try to throw the runner out, but not in time.
That was a great job by Caitlin Cavender. I mean, not many girls can make that throw, and she did it phenomenally. I was surprised she didn't over or underthrow it because it's just so hard to make the throw coming off, going towards second base and having to turn it around.
Here is Oleg now as she takes a ball outside. No! A strike on the outside corner. I beg your pardon, home plate umpire. Oleg is 1-for-2. Pitches hit towards Cavender at second. She flips DeReyes for one, and that's all they'll get. So a fielder's choice, 6-4. Excuse me, 4-6. I got a flip-flop. So two outs. And here is Hazlitt.
Moriarty showing that she's meant to be that senior pitcher right there. She's got two outs already and just one runner on base.
So Kayla Hazlitt is 0-for-2, reached on an error in her last time up. And that error led to a run scored for the Central Washington Wildcats, their first run of the game, actually, in the fourth inning.
I'm seeing a trend here with Hazlitt. She is their sacrifice bunter. This is the second time I've seen her come up and just throw down bunt, which isn't a bad strategy here, especially just because you want to move the runner.
But there is two outs in this inning, so.
True, there may be two outs. It's still a good choice because so far, Dominican has had quite a bit of defensive errors, so
right.
She could capitalize on that.
0-2 pitch is swung on and hit towards Reyes at short. Can't make the play. Ends up in center field for a base hit, and then Lanza almost throws it right past Reyes when they were standing, looks like, about 10 feet away from each other. That would have been a big blunder. But Reyes just not quite tall enough that ball maybe even touched the top of the leather of Reyes' glove, but ended up going to the center field.
Yeah, it was almost a nice catch by Reyes, but thankfully Alyssa Lanza, great center fielder, was there to back her up.
And Tammy Wilkening, number 18, will pinch run for the Wildcats at second base. And here is Morris, and she swings and hits a chopper foul back to the backstop. So no balls and one strike. That's one thing you notice about Moriarty. She is... seems pretty calm on the mound. See her smiling quite a bit. That's always a good sign.
Yeah.
0-1 pitch from Moriarty is an off-speed pitch. Don't know what to call it. Strike two on the outside corner.
It's an off-speed screwball there. That's a great pitch. I would have called that a strike. It looks beautiful. You saw it coming in super slow, and sure, it was maybe a little bit outside, but...
0-2 pitches. Moriarty lets out a little... I guess you call that a grunt when she threw that one. Missed it outside. 1-2. 1-2, two outs. Runners at first and second for the Wildcats. Here's the pitch from Moriarty. Did she go? I believe so. No call. Throw down to second base. Runner just get back. So somehow she did hold up. I have no idea how. It looked to me like she was hosed, but she was able to hold up 2-2.
Once again, Shannon Rodriguez making sure that nobody's moving on her watch. Problem again, no coverage.
That off-speed screwball gets her this time on a check swing. She couldn't hold up. Moriarty strikes her out, and that's the inning. So the Wildcats threaten again here in the fifth, but a big old goose egg gets put on the board. So good job by the Penguins to not let, for the third inning in a row, a run come across. So we will head to the bottom of the fifth. I guess in softball you can say it's time to stretch in the bottom of the fifth inning.
Yeah.
So, and I hear on the PA system now they're playing a little take me out to the ball game. So let's grab some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. We're going to take a break here on Penguin Radio.
Find your way, make it through. Just this day, face the world on your home. Life will go on, life will go on. There'll be blue skies, there'll be true love. Someday I'll hold you again. There'll be blue skies in a better world.
We are back here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Tori Johnson on one pitch grounded out to the second baseman, so she is retired. Here in the fifth inning, and here is Reyes. Reyes, as she takes a strike, 0-1 the count now. Got the scoring started for the Penguins in the third inning with an RBI single to right field. She also had a sac bunt, so she is 1-for-1. Reyes took the 0-1 pitch for a ball. It's one ball and one strike. And you're not going to believe who I see in the bullpen for Central Washington. As Reyes hits a little flare to right field, but it's going to be caught by Hazlitt. Number 7, the right fielder, for the first out of the inning. Excuse me, the second out of the inning. As Reyes flies out to 9. And here is Caitlin Harden.
I see some action happening over in that bullpen, and I cannot believe it. Is that wood over there warming
yep,
up?
It is.
Wow.
as Harden rips one into center field, a base knock. Her first hit of the day in game two. She was 0 for 2 to that point.
It's nice to see Harden finally coming alive a little bit. She's normally a great power hitter, and one of the reasons why they have her is a nice DP spot here in the Penguin lineup.
And here's Caitlin Cavender. Cavender doubled as the pitch gets away from Wilkerson, the catcher. Harden will move up to second. So Cavender, the best hitter average-wise for this Penguin team, has a runner in scoring position now with their team trailing by 2 runs. And now it looks like they're going to intentionally walk Cavender, and yes, they will.
I mean, it's not a bad idea to intentionally walk Cavender. She did have a nice line drive out to left field and ended up scoring off of that. So they've seen her make some great hits, and she could bring Harden around.
And so Cavender will take the walk. And here is Haley Cheek. Haley Cheek is a freshman, and she is pretty tall and powerful. So you gotta, we haven't seen it in a DU uniform yet, but definitely you gotta think a power threat. First pitch to Cheek is down low, 1-0. Tying runners are on base for the Penguins. That's the also the risk of your hand. And if Cheek hits one out of here, the Penguins have the lead. 1-0 pitch is outside corner, yes. Late strike call, if you could not.
I didn't think that was a
strike.
You can
tell from my wording. And it was late as well. That's what threw me. 1-1 pitch is got to be low, and it is. 2-1. Cheek doing a good job in this early part of this at-bat, waiting for the pitch she wants. Crucial at-bat here for the DUs. Copadoma fires, and it is swung on and missed. You could see it come out of her hand that it was a funky off-speed pitch. And it was, and Cheek was way out in front. Swung right through it, 2-2.
Yeah, she came out with that sneaky off-speed rise, and Cheek looked right away as it was coming through.
2-2 on its way, and she's on it this time. Fouls it straight back to the screen. Still 2-2. Cavender is your best runner on base. She is pretty quick. Harden has average speed, I would say, at second.
Yeah, I agree.
2-2 pitch is swung on and fouled to the right of the backstop, and Haley Cheek giving him a battle here.
Last inning, she hit a nice line drive all the way through center field, so I'd like to see another one of those just to get some runs around.
That pitch was off the plate outside. Haley took it for a ball, and it's 3-2. So good at bat here from the freshman. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Here it comes. And there's a swing, and a ground ball is short. Farrellman will make the out at second base. Cavender is retired, and that will end the inning. So the Penguins are turned away, had a little rally going in this inning, could not get anything across. And we will head to the sixth inning. This game moving along pretty quickly. Wildcats are leading by 2 with a score of 4-2.
Penguins still have a chance here to come up and score some more runs, but they got to hold the Wildcats today. They've got Moore Yardy back on the mound, and she's been looking phenomenal. I cannot say any more about how great she has come out this season to start pitching and stepping up as the big senior pitcher here on the Penguins lineup.
But as we mentioned, number 4, Kiana Wood, who was really awesome in game one. She pitched a complete game shutout, 6 strikeouts, and she will probably be coming in at some point in this game. I feel like she's like Madison Bumgarner in Game 7 of the World Series down there. She's just like, oh, no.
I got to finish it.
Yeah, we're gonna have to face her now.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. She pitched over 100 pitches in that first game. I mean, it's pretty intense for her. Madison Wood, man, she's a little fighter, that woman. Definitely coming out here and showing that she's got the stamina. to keep pitching all day, especially coming off of the two games they played yesterday.
Yeah, and she threw a complete game shutout yesterday, too.
Yeah.
So, it's been wild.
Yep.
It'll be the top of the lineup coming up. Celine Fowler will lead it off for the Wildcats here in the sixth. Fowler is 1-for-3. She had an RBI single in the third. Struck out in her last at bat in the fourth inning. And she swings and hits one to Cavender, and she boots it at second base. Kind of looked like she took the wrong approach to that ball, as that ball was hit pretty well into her left, but she came in and kind of came into the right of the ball, and she ended up booting it. So E4 for Cavender.
Yeah, it was definitely a hard ball to play. It wasn't a hard ball to play, but Cavender definitely came in at a weird angle there.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of funky. It just didn't look right to
me.
Runner goes. Rodriguez fires to second and is not in time. Not a bad throw by Rodriguez. It was right on the money, right where you would want it to be. But speed of Fowler, too much. And the Wildcats, here we go again, on the base paths like we saw in the last game as well. Last pitch was a strike. Moriarty throws, and it's a bunt, and it's going to be fair. Rodriguez throws. No play at first. She is safe. And that was a perfect bunt by Farrellman. And that's her third hit.
Wow. Great job by Farrellman. She's definitely doing what she needs to do to get on base. And, hey, if that was meant to be a sacrifice bunt and she made it to base, good for her. Because honestly, she's moving the runner around and she got on base. That's what's going to help this Wildcat lineup get more runs.
And looking now, looks like as we have another shown bunt, but called strike by Moriarty. Runners at the corners now with nobody out. Wildcats looking to stretch out that two-run lead here in the last two innings of the ballgame.
That last play, the coach looked like he was pulling a little strategy there, trying to get that runner over to second base by blocking the catcher. But Shannon Rodriguez, aggressive player, man. She was up on that before the runner was even halfway to second base, holding her there at one. It was a phenomenal job by Shannon.
One ball, one strike, the count. Moriarty in a jam. Pitch is down low. Runner's moving. They're going to try a snap throw to third. Nothing happening. And with the pitch in the dirt, Rodriguez really didn't have any play at second base. So she takes the bag easily. 2-1 count. Runners now at second and third. And the 2-1 is a swing and a Texas Leaguer into right field. It's going to fall, base hit. Runners had to stay put. So one run will score, and that's it. And it's 5-2 Wildcats. As Campbell didn't exactly hit the cover off the ball, but base hit, scores a run, and stretches the lead to 3.
Campbell did what she needed to. She reached out and got the very end of that bat to hit with that ball and definitely shot it over into right field for a nice little base hit and RBI.
And here's another bunt. The runner was coming home, so it was a squeeze by Central Washington, but it was a foul ball. And probably not a bad idea. You wouldn't think Wilkerson, the cleanup hitter in this lineup, would be laying down a bunt.
That's a great strategy done by Central Washington, especially to put the big girl out there to sack bunt to get some squeeze play through.
There's a swing and a ball into shallow center field. That one's going to fall. Lanza firing home, not in time. And another run comes in. Farrellman scores it this time for the Wildcats, and it's 6-2. And they have built that lead back up to 4 runs like they had it earlier in the game. And looks like we're going to have a conference at the mound. And still nobody out in this inning for the Penguins.
Yeah.
Trailing already by 4 runs. They've scored 2 in this game, so the offense has been a little bit better. But you don't want to make the task any larger if you're Moriarty.
Moriarty seems to be leaving a little bit, a lot of pitches hanging out in a little bit into the zone, so that's why Central's capitalizing on that, as well as the fact that Central is playing a lot of small ball as well as getting those hits. They're just doing what they can to get on base, and they're proving that their bats are better than the Pangs.
And here's the pitcher, Copadona, and she takes a strike, and it looks like the bullpen is now quiet. So Kiana Wood came out of the bullpen. I don't know if that means she's ready or if this lead getting bigger, maybe she's just not going to come in at all. 0-1 pitch is down low from Moriarty, 1-1. Runners now at first and second for Central Washington. It looks like we also have a pinch runner at first base. That's Rachel Johnson, number 25. As this ball is hit in front of the catcher, there's going to be no play, however, as both runners move up on the play. Two balls and a strike is the count, as the ball was ended up in front of the catcher and on that last pitch, and she couldn't handle it. 2-1 is right there on the strike zone that time, 2-2. Copadona is 0-2, lined out to center field in her last time. 2-2 is a little flare in front of the bag, fair ball down the right field line. This could be trouble. One run scores, and sliding into second baseman is Copadona with a double. And that's the one thing about this inning, is they've had this, that's their fourth hit in a row now, and all four of them have been these little bloop singles.
That has to do with the fact that they're hitting them off the off-speed pitch. They're catching that off-speed right at the very end of where it's spinning, and these little bloopers are just happen to be falling into the spots. It just shows they have some nice hitting accuracy on the Central team. I think Moriarty's got to just buckle down, get going a little bit. The Penguins definitely need to start producing some outs now, because there's nothing left to do but get these girls out. They've got to step up and start making plays, because if they don't make plays, there's just no way they're going to come back from this.
So this is now the second three-run inning for the Wildcats. Had three runs in the fourth and three runs in the sixth. Still nobody out. So if Moriarty's not careful, this lead gets bigger. We're going to start, correct me if I'm wrong, but we could start talking run rule here. They score a couple more runs.
There might be a run rule happening. I mean, they've got one more chance to get it going, but we'll see. This is pretty tight here. We need Moriarty to start hitting those spots again. She's probably getting a little tired. I mean, Sun is right behind her, and they're in all black, so might be a little bit of a factor there too.
Samad is a hitter, and she hits one very well into left field. Going back and making the catch is Tori Johnson, but tagging up and scoring is the pinch runner, Johnson. And it's now 7-8-2. So sack fly.
Yep. It was a great play by Tori Johnson. I mean, she got that first out of the inning. That may just start the whole game and turn it in a different direction to see if they can continue to get these girls out and get ready to bring those bats back to life.
Swinging a ball into the corner in right field, and it is just foul down the right field line, out of play. And Oleg hit that one. She is 1-for-3. Reached base, however, in her last time on a fielder's choice. Singled in the fourth was her one hit. To this point, 0-1 the count. One out, runner at second base. And a shot into left field, a base hit. And they're going to hold the runner at third base. Now runners at the corners for the Wildcats.
Number 7, Michaela Hazlett.
And that's 5 of the last 6 hitters have had hits against Moriarty, and she is just having a rough go of it here in the sixth inning.
I wouldn't be surprised right now if Wildcats start playing a little bit of small ball to get some runners moving.
And here's Hazlitt, and right on cue, the runner goes. Good throw by Rodriguez, gets the runner at second base. And that is one adjustment the Penguins have made in this game that I think has helped them out. Rodriguez has looked very good behind the plate defensively, and obviously it's not showing up so much on the scoreboard, but definitely a good move, I think, by Coach Byrne. As that ball takes a crazy hop to short, but Reyes is able to handle it, and she throws out the runner, Hazlitt, and that mercifully will end the inning for the Penguins. Four runs on six hits and one runner on, two runners left on this inning for the Wildcats. They balloon their lead to 8-2, and the Penguins have two innings to try to score six runs. What do you think the best approach is when you got a huge deficit like this is for any team? Not just a team that struggles with hitting like the Penguins.
Get on base. Any means possible, get on base. You got to get on base. You got to hit the ball. You got to get some bunts down. You can't hit by the ball. Get walked. It doesn't matter. You just got to get on base, because once you get on base, you have the opportunity to try and score. It's crucial, especially in a game like this. The Penguins have not been wearing down the central pitcher, Corbaldona, as much as they did with Wood that first game. And that may be a little bit, it may have improved their hitting abilities a little bit because it made them more aggressive, but it also has kept Corbaldona a high intensity on her game because she's not as worn down as Wood was in that first game.
So just looking at a few of the statistics, 8 runs, 13 hits, 1 error for Central Washington. Dominican, 2 runs, 7 hits, and 2 errors for them thus far. Taylor Munoz leading things off. First pitch to her is a grounder to third and a quick throw to first for the first out of the inning. Campbell had to go a little bit low to handle that throw from third, but handled it nicely. So one pitch, one out. Not what the Penguins were looking for. As here's Rodriguez. Rodriguez takes the ball. Rodriguez is 1-for-1. She came in the third inning, had an at-bat in the fourth, and her only bat, she singled. 1-0 pitch on away, and she swings and hits one toward the hole. It's short from her knee, makes the play. Great play by number 20, Farrellman, at short to throw out Rodriguez. So two quick outs for the Penguins, and pretty much what you said is what exactly the Penguins aren't doing right here.
Yeah.
With two extremely quick outs. And here's Bolin, and she takes a strike on the outside corner, 0-1. Off speed pitch there.
Might be better for the Penguins to start taking a look at some more pitches. I mean, there are going to be some great ones out there, and there's going to be some bad ones, but making Cardona work a lot more is just going to be beneficial in the Penguins' favor.
Copadono ahead 0-2 now, throws outside, misses 1-2. And to go off that, you're here in the sixth inning, and to this point, Copadono has thrown 63 pitches, where in the last game, the pitch count was way higher than that. She was...
We had over 100
Kiana
in that
Wood
first.
Was getting close to 100 at this point in the last game.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a big change between the first game now with the pitching from Central. There's a lot of changes going on from the Penguins as well as Central as far as the lineup goes, but they need to start making some plays and definitely capitalizing on wearing down that pitcher a little more.
As Bolin hit one well down the right field line that last pitch, but just ended up foul down the right field line. 1-2, still the count. 2 outs, nobody aboard. Bottom of the sixth inning, Penguins trailing 8-2 after a 4-1 top of this inning. And she hits one pretty good to left, but right there is Morris, the right fielder, number 13, puts it away. And a 1-2-3 quick inning for the Wildcats. And we'll head to the last inning, the seventh. And the Penguins will try to desperately avoid a sweep here in the friendly confines of Penguin Field here in the seventh inning. But it's not looking great at this point. And this Penguin team, looking ahead, will be playing a couple more games here at home this next week. Wednesday, join us on Wednesday afternoon, maybe get a little distraction from your work day. We'll be missing some class for this game. I guess if Stu, I assume, will be our teacher. I assume we'll be missing class for those games. We'll be taking on Sonoma State on Wednesday afternoon. Same schedule here at Penguin Field, 12-2. And then on Sunday as well, taking on another non-conference foe, Texas A&M Commerce. That's on a Sunday afternoon. So at the yard next Sunday, if you're done with all your chores around the house and want to come out and check out some softball, you should do it. Heck, those guys in left field had the barbecue working. You can bring out your Weber.
Come say hi to us. We'll be here.
Yeah, grill up some burgers if you want to give us a few burgers. That would be okay with us.
Yeah, we're not opposed to that.
Yeah, nope. Not at all.
All right. I think that the Penguins need to really hone in onto this pitching skills right now. Moriarty's losing a little bit of her control, and that's what's really going to make or break the rest of this game.
And Morris lays down a bunt. Munoz throws to first, not in time. Made a barehanded exchange, but still not enough. Almost a perfect exchange from bare hand to throw by Munoz, coming in at third, but with the speed of Morris, was not much she could do. So an infield hit on the bunt, and we're right back to the top of the order. And there's a ball hit towards right field and into right field. Looks like they're going to be able to record the out at first base. For one out, the runner moves up to second base. So one out. And here's Farrellman. First pitch from Moriarty is outside and a little bit low. Ball one. One ball, no strikes. As Campbell steps into the box, she is 2-for-4. Pitch from Moriarty is a called strike. Screwball in the inside corner. Evens the count. One ball, one strike. Runner at second, one out in this 8-2 ball game here at the John F. Allen Athletic Complex. Swinging a high fly ball. Right field going back is Bowman, and she makes the catch right in front of the wall in right field. Two outs. And the runner also moves up to third, tagging up, and that ball fooled me a little bit. I thought that was going to be a routiner, and ball just kept going back and back. And
yeah, it was
Penguins
kind of
fortunate it didn't get out of here.
It was carried really high. I don't know if the wind maybe up there may have caught it, but there's no wind down here.
No. There's a swing and a flare center field, and nobody can make the play. So a run comes in to score. Morris crosses home plate, and another run in for Central Washington. It's now 9-2 here in the seventh inning. And that ball ended up, I don't even think it made it to the outfield grass. Just with the infield where it was, just nobody could get to it.
Yeah, it was like right there on the edge of the grass and the dirt.
There's a swing and a grounder to Reyes at short. She throws to Cheek to first, and that will end the inning. So the Wildcats get one run across on two hits and one left on base. So now it's 9-2. We will head to the last of the seventh.
It's going to be a rough go for the Penguins, but they need to start bringing those bats alive. They need to just get on base. Maybe hang back, not be so aggressive towards the end of this game. Take some more pitches, take a look, and see what she's pitching, because it's looking like she's brand new, fresh off her feet, still pitching that ball, whereas Wood was struggling towards the end to get it over. I mean, the pitch count's completely different from that first game, and they're completely different pitchers, yes, but the Penguins need to start taking a look and seeing, hey, maybe she's pitching a little more this way. She's faster, slower. They need to start strategizing a little more with their hits and being a little smarter with their bats.
And speaking of pitching and hitting, we're going to see a new pitcher for Central Washington. It's number 19, Laura Steiner, a sophomore. We're in the last of the seventh. Penguins dropped game one by a score of 4-0. And if they do not score 7 runs in this bottom half of the seventh inning, they will...
It's over.
They will be swept in this 2-game doubleheader. Alyssa Lanza will lead things off for the Penguins. As we were talking about earlier, Courtney Seo's doppelganger.
Yeah, she's definitely got the exact same strategy and everything. It's really funny watching her out here play. It's like, wow, Courtney Seo's got a mini-me out here.
Yeah. See if Lanza can channel her inner Courtney Seo and get a hit right here against the new pitcher. As Lanza swings at the first pitch and hits it to short, Farrellman is there, and she throws her out. So I guess your classic example of the broadcaster's curse taking place there as Lanza is retired for the first out of the inning.
Yeah, we got to get some type of a rally going. We need hits, hits, hits in this inning, or else that's it for the Penguins.
As Tori Johnson comes to the plate, takes the first pitch up high for a ball, 1-0. Johnson is 1-for-2. As an infield hit and a sack bunt. Pitches again up high against Johnson, 2-0. Infield playing way in for Central Washington. 2-0 is way up high, almost got to the backstop. 3-0.
This could be the changing point here in this game. Putting in the new pitcher here may have just shot Washington's chance in the foot. But you never know. She can clean up.
And the 3-0 pitch is a walk. So Tori Johnson makes sure that the Penguins will not go down without at least a little bit of a fight. And Reyes will step into the box next. Reyes had an RBI single in the third inning. She's 1-for-2 also. She also had a sack bunt in the first. Popped out to right field, however, in her last at-bat. With Tori Johnson on at first, one out, and a swing and a ground ball to Farrellman. It's short. She throws to first to get the sure out at first. Johnson moves up to second, but the Wildcats could really care less about the base runner at this point.
Yeah, we need to see some big hits here from Harden. I mean, she's kind of been sleeping at the plate for a little bit. Last inning, we got a nice line drive all the way through center field. I'd like another one of those from her compared to last season where she was hitting homers almost every game. We'll see what happens.
And Harden looked like she was trying to do that here, hit that one to somewhere in the next stratosphere. Comes up empty. Harden is 1-for-3. And Harden takes a look at a breaking ball, and somehow that was called a ball. That looked like that was right down Main Street from here.
It came up a little high towards the end over there. Harden has a smaller strike zone when she gets down into her stance.
And she hits a grounder to Oleg. This could be it. And it is. Campbell handles it at first, and that will do it. So the Central Washington Wildcats come in here on the road playing a back-to-back as they beat Academy of Art in two straight. Yesterday, keep it going here in San Rafael and sweep the Penguins in two straight here by a score of 9-2 in game two. The Penguins drop to 1-7, and Central Washington improves to 8-1 on the season, and the only loss coming in the tournament they played last weekend against another Pac West foe, Concordia Irvine. So be interesting to watch and see. It's going to be definitely a work in progress for this Penguin team playing in a tough conference. Concordia, if they can beat a team like this, that's a team to watch. And obviously Dixie State, who played in the national championship game a year ago. It's going to be with a number of young players playing in the lineup and really even the veterans making some costly mistake. One thing I would look at for the Penguins for anything else is clean up their act. You know, clean up all the errors, the base running mistakes, and have a better approach at the plate. Play better fundamental softball, and then they can go from there.
I agree with you, Jeff. I think they need to go back to a little bit of basics here. They got a lot of little sloppy errors there. Base running errors in that first game kind of really put them in the dirt there. Then they got some little errors in on the field, which that's fine. They can make up for them if they have good bats. They got to bring those bats alive. If those bats don't come alive, then you got no runs and you got no score. So that's really what killed the Penguins in this game today. Today they did come up better in that second game, and I think if they just continue to improve their bat skills, they'll probably have a better season.
So that's going to just about do it here from Penguin Field. Again, the Penguins are swept here in this two-game doubleheader, losing 4-0 in Game 1, losing 9-3 in Game 2. Final stat line for both teams, 9 runs on 15 hits and just the one error for Central Washington. 2 runs, 7 hits, and 2 errors for the DU Penguins. Goodner will get credit for the loss, and Copadono will pick up the win for the Central Washington Wildcats. So that's going to do it here from Penguin Field. For Jeff Safford, Lizette Cabrera, thanks everybody for listening in. And tune in next time to our next softball broadcast on Wednesday as the Penguins take on Sonoma State. Until then, have a great rest of your weekend and have a great Saturday night, everybody.